Acts chapter 13. It was read so well a few moments ago. If you want to open up your Bibles there, I'll read a passage here in just a moment as a jumping off point for our lesson here this evening. Thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate so much your interest in spiritual things and your willingness to make the effort to be out here. It says a lot about you and your love for God, and I appreciate that very much. We do have some folks that are watching this live stream as well. We want to acknowledge you and thank you for your interest in spiritual things this evening as well. We want to remind ourselves that all we're interested in is the truth. Jesus said you'll know it, and it'll make you free, John 8 and verse 32. I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse. Utilize the PowerPoint here to my left in just a few moments so you might know, see where it is that I'm getting these things. I encourage you, if you have a bulletin, to open up to the second page. You'll find the outline of my lesson tonight, some blanks there that you can fill in to kind of stay engaged, and hopefully not only engaged during these next 22 minutes, but also later on this week. Maybe open this back up and read and study through it again. In the book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, there the scripture says, "And when he had removed him," and in the context he's talking about King Saul, "he raised up unto them David to be king, to whom he also gave this testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." You know, I got to thinking about that. What was it about David that God would say, here's a man that's after my heart? Wouldn't that be nice if God could say that about us? Well, you know, really, like it is with a lot of individuals and a lot of good congregations that God was pleased with, all we need to do is take a little time and study the scripture to see what it was that they did, some of their attitudes and their characteristics that became so pleasing unto God. And if we know them, then I can do them too. And if I can do them too, if I can emulate that, then I too can be pleasing to God. And so what I want to do here, there's four or five, I want you to take a look at some characteristics of King David that God was able to say, this is a man after my own heart. Now, you think about it. David was a flawed man, by the way. We could sit and spend 3 or 4 minutes here talking about the different sin that he was involved with. But God is interested in this man's heart. What was the overriding characteristic and mindset of this fellow? And I want to take a look at that here this evening. The first thing I'd like to suggest to you in regards to David was this. He loved the Word of God. Listen to his writings in Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Now think about that. When was the last time you sat around thinking about the Word of God all day long? I mean, you think about all the things that we think about on a daily and weekly basis, all the things that we get ourselves all agitated about, we do a lot of study on. David said, I love the law of God, and I meditate it all day long. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. You can't read that without understanding the emphasis, the fact that David loved the law of God. In Psalm 19 and verse 10, he says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter are they than honey, and the honeycomb. You know, the Beasleys back in Pekin, Indiana, when I was growing up, would have honeybees in the back. And they didn't have chewing gum. They chewed on honeycomb. Because it was sweet. And it was good. He said, look, the Word of God is sweeter than that to me. It's sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And it's better, not just gold, but fine gold. It's more to be desired than all those things. Why? In verse 11, he says, moreover, they give thy servant warning, and in keeping them is great reward. He understood the fact that I love thy law because of the things that it provides to me in my life. Like in verse 11 in Psalm 119, he said, thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, if we would meditate all day long on the Word of God, it might help us cut out some sin. You ever think about that? Then maybe we wouldn't do so much of that saying and doing that we ought not to do. If I was meditating upon the Word of God, I love thy law, he says, because in Psalm 119 and verse 50, it has made me alive. The Word of God not only brings us alive spiritually, but it refreshes us from a physical standpoint. When we think about the promises of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love the Word of God. How is our love? Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10. He says, with all deceivableness of Because they received not, listen, the love of the truth that they might be saved. Your love for the Word of God has an awful lot to do about your ability to be saved. We need to learn here this evening to love the truth and meditate upon it. The first thing I want to point your attention to why this man was that he is a man after God's own heart was because he loved the law of the Lord. But also, this man loved to pray. Listen to his own words. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. That's Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord. Why? Because when I call upon him in prayer, he hears me. And these are the promises that you and I have as well. Just as David had this ability to pray to God, so do you and I. He loved the ability to do it. The Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth, he said in Psalm 145, verse 18. He said, in the morning, in the evening, and noontime, I lift up my prayer to God, and he hears me. That's Psalms 55 and verse 17. David said, I pray without ceasing, like Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. How often do you pray, by the way? How often do you pray today? I got my fill this morning, someone said. That's not David's attitude. David's attitude was, I love to pray to my God. Why? Because he hears me. And that's the reason why Paul would say, don't be anxious for anything. Have you ever found yourself sitting around being worried about things? I have. And I try to remember this passage. Thy word I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Remember that? I remember that passage right there in Philippians 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. So, with supplications and prayers, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Don't be anxious for anything. Pray to God about that. And then the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Paul said. You want your mind to be relieved, then you need to learn to love prayer. You need to learn to spend some time and carve out some of your day to grow a closer relationship with God through that communication that he gave you. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, how comforting it is to know that God cares for me. God cares for me. We've got friends, we've got family, we've got children that, you know, you tell me your problem. Well, why do you want to hear my problem? Because I care for you. Because I'm concerned about you. I want to know what's got you bothered. I want to know what's on your mind. I want to know what it is that I can do for you. That's our relationship that we have with God. And David said, I love that. And I love taking the opportunity of praying to God. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Psalms 32 and verse 6. Godly. They pray to God while God is there to listen. There'll be a day, you know, there ain't no one praying. Prayer will be over. You love prayer? I hope that you do. Because this was a man after God's own heart. And I want you to appreciate through his own writings, I say, that he loved prayer. Carve out some time to pray. Tell you what you do. Challenge you on this. Did anybody do a to-do list? Probably the only one here that does it. But just list pray. And what time you're going to do it. And it'll show you how often you pray. Because you get to about 11 o'clock and you think, is it time to have to do that already? Until you begin, become a habit of it, and then you begin to love it. You begin to look forward to it. You begin to look at the clock and say, is it time? I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Because I love to pray to God. I like to thank you for what's going on. And I like that relationship I have with God. This man loved to pray. But also, this man loved to praise God. Seven times a day do I praise thee because thy righteousness, your righteous judgments, David said. In Psalm 119, verse 164. Seven times a day. We've got brethren who won't come three times a week. And David said, I love to pray, and I love to praise God seven times a day. Psalm 95, I've taken a myriad of sermons out of these first seven verses. I like to read them to you, to even listen to them. Psalm 95, beginning verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us become before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God. He's a great king above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his because he made it. In his hands formed the dry ground. Oh, come, people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice. You can't read that without understanding that David understood there's a lot of reason to be praising God. There's a lot of reason why we ought to stop and take some time out of our day and our week to bow down before our God. When we think of his greatness, when we think about all that he's done, when we think about in him we live and move and have our being, as Paul would say in Acts 17:28. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live, David said. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being, while I am still alive. Let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God. I preach a sermon sometime and talking about the tongue and why we have it. One of the reasons to praise God. Are you utilizing your tongue that way? To praise God. Do we delight in singing those and praying? I was glad when they said, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why, David? Because I love to praise God. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. Praise is comely. This man loved to praise God, and it was said of him, he was a man after God's own heart. Can we check that off? I love to praise God. I love coming here because I love singing praise. I like giving God my thanksgiving through our praise. But also, this man loved unity among brethren. Matter of fact, he would say in Psalms 133 and verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. It's one of the problems why churches don't grow. It's one of the reasons why churches dissolve and go away. It's because brethren can't get along. And I want you to appreciate that David loved unity. He understood what it would foster. He did what it was necessary to try to keep brethren in unity. Our Lord loved it as well. In John 17 and verse 20, I call to your remembrance. As Jesus in that chapter, before he is betrayed and he's taken before Pontius Pilate, is praying to his Father. In verse 20, he says, neither do I praise for these alone. That is, not only am I just praying for these apostles, but I'm praying for all those who will believe upon me through their word. And that's you and me, by the way. We believe on him through the word that the apostles brought forth. He said that they all might be one, that I as I am in you and you are me, that they all might be one in us, that the world might know that you've sent me. That's one of the ways the world knows that, hey, wait a second, I need to stand up and take notice of this and listen to that, is because these group of individuals are united. We live by a banner of united to stand, divided to fall. We hear that in our country. We see that. We see our country being torn apart now. Divisions and factions all over. That's not good. That's not pleasant, is it? I don't like turning on the TV unless it's a sport. I don't even like watch sports anymore. Because there's division and all that. There's no unity. And in that unity, there's envy and there's strife and every evil word, James would say, when it comes to that idea of not being united. And I want you to appreciate that David understood the importance of unity. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, the wise man there said, there were six things the Lord hated. Seven is an abomination to him. And one of the last ones that he writes is, he that soweth discord among brethren. And we do that through gossip, by trying to have party factions, by having our own way, by not being having humility. Paul would say, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Endeavoring. That means it takes some effort to make sure that we continue to all get along. In Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but let each esteem others better than themselves. Not let every man look upon his own things, but let him look upon the things of others. Why? So that brethren might dwell in unity. And David understood that. David loved unity among brethren. And it was said of him, he was a man after God's own heart. You think about this idea of unity. How is it that we keep from fussing and fighting? Well, I heard one time that I'll just pass on to you real quick, and I'll go with the last point, and that is, don't take offense. Some people are just too quick to take offense. Did you hear what they said? Did you see that look? How come they didn't do that? And people will get their backs up and they want to be offended. I guess maybe because I'm a gospel preacher, I've seen that not only among brethren, but normally around me. Maybe there's just some joke that's told I know there's times that I've said things in jest, and I've learned well enough now that almost the first thing I want to do is I'm going to go and apologize to that person just in case they didn't understand I'm joking. Because I'm just joking. And so I'm not near as fun as I used to be, because people get mad sometimes when you're joking. Don't be so quick to take offense. Don't give offense. You know, there's some brethren that are just offensive. You can't convince me that some people that I've known have not done it on purpose. It's just hard to imagine that people could be so offensive and not put any effort into it. And I'm pretty impressed if they do that. But don't take offense. Don't give offense. And remove offenses. If you know that somebody is bothered by something, don't do it. Not around them. That's what Paul said. Look, I'm not going to eat meats anymore. I can eat meat if I want to. But if it causes my brother to stumble, I will eat meats no more. Don't take offense. Don't give offense. And try to remove offenses. So brethren could dwell in unity. And finally, I want you to see this. This man hated every false way. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, listen to what David says. Therefore, I hate every false way. And that was a man after God's own heart. He did not like things that were contrary to the truth. His hatred affected his selection of activities, and it affected him in his selection of friends. And it needs to be ours as well. In Psalms 101 and verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Now you can't read that without understanding that these hating a false way has something to do with the selection of his activities, the things that he meditated upon, the things that he would allow his eyes to look upon, and the people that he associated with. Why? Because he hated every false way. That's a good study, by the way. Psalm 101. I invite you to read that sometime this week. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. I'd be insulting your intelligence if I didn't think you could make an application of that. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. The froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know the wicked person. Paul said, don't be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. How do we feel about that? Paul said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. I've said it 1,000 times, I'm going to make 1,001. The greatest ally evil has is good men who will neither say or do nothing. Can we take a stand? Oh, we've got to take a stand at some point, don't we? Sometime in our life, we've got to be like David and say, you know what? I'm just not going to be a part of that. People who lie and things like this, I'm not going to associate that. I'm not going to allow their influence or their wicked ways to be my source of entertainment. I'm not going to allow that to cleave into me. I'm going to disassociate myself from sin. And if you do that, what you might find out is you might start becoming a man after God's own heart. Because the things that I see about David is this. He loved God's word. You love it? How often do you spend time with it? You know, we spend time with the things that we love. You ever notice that? I love college sports. There's not a day I don't read about it. There's not a day I don't read the Word of God, by the way. Love the Word of God. Love to pray. You love to pray? Love to praise God. See, love unity among brethren. Do you like that? You just like making sure that whatever, if it's possible to you, people will live in peace. That's Bible language. Probably Romans 12, by verse 19. Check me on that. Hate it ever falls away. Won't even look at it. And if we would do these things, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to appreciate that we have gone an awful long way to being somebody after God's own heart. You've listened well tonight. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We're about to stand to sing a song of invitation to encourage you here this evening. Maybe there's somebody in our audience who needs to be obedient to the Word of God. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, or there's somebody else that just needs the prayer of this congregation. You know what, I've not been what I should be, or I just need help being what I need to be, and I need the prayers. We're here, ready, willing, able to help. Whatever this good book will allow, we'll do it. We extend the invitation to you. Sing the song to encourage you. Sub to a new way, come forward now. We stand and we sing.
There is